ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're going to end all kinds of different stuff. Jim Traber will come up at 9:30, pick his brain about all the things that happened over the weekend. College football this weekend, one team in the top 15 or so looked awesome. Actually, two teams looked awesome. Everybody else was kind of meh. Some won, some lost. It's going to be really interesting to see, I think, for tomorrow night's second rankings reveal, if they start jumping teams around or if it's just kind of slotted. And so, you know, this Michigan State loses, everybody moves up one. And then where they fall to, where do they end up? I think it's going to be super interesting to see if what they put out that first week really matters, or if they start moving them around how they want it to be in the end anyway. So we'll see about that. We'll talk a little bit about that. From the college football weekend. High school football regular season finales on a Friday night. District titles were won. Playoff spots solidified. And we'll take a peek into the brackets, the playoff brackets for the first round this week in the high school football playoffs. 225-9698 is the phone of the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Just feel free to chime on in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area one of these days and you want to stay in touch with us live, you can do that. It's easy to do. You can log on to kadsam.com. That way, hit to live stream us. Or you can download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon, radio stations, Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. We got high school hoops throughout the week leading up to the playoffs on Friday on Big Elk TV. So lots of different things in that Paragon Communications app. Then if you miss our show entirely, a couple ways to go back and listen. iTunes has the podcast. KADSAM has the podcast. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Just wonderful.
Good weekend.
Absolutely
beautiful,
wonderful.
Beautiful weekend.
Well, it was a nice weekend. Got to play a little golf Saturday and then watch a bunch of college football when we got done. And then yesterday, what a crazy day in the NFL.
Wasn't it?
Upsets. I just saw. First day since November 12th, 2006, five underdogs of at least 5 points won outright.
A lot of money changed hand in Vegas yesterday.
I'm going to tell you what happened. Normally on a weekend like that, a lot of people paid Vegas. A lot of times when the underdogs
changed hand,
when the underdog, you know, they've kind of taken a beating a little bit so far with favorites winning, and they may have struck back yesterday. Be my guess with the results there in the NFL weekend. So it was a crazy one. Teams that you thought were good laid eggs. The Jaguars won. I mean, I don't know. And then last night,
clearly it was the time change.
Yeah, maybe
messed
that
with everybody.
Yeah, everybody was an hour late showing up. I know the team down in Dallas certainly.
Yeah,
was.
By the time they showed up, it was over.
So we'll talk about that. Jim picked Jim's mind about a lot of that too, and I think it's fairly clear that in Cleveland, OBJ and Baker, whatever the lack of chemistry was, totally affects that team. And when he's not there, they look completely different.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield looks completely different. And that team was awesome yesterday against a Cincinnati team that just 2 weeks ago was the leader in the AFC. So we got a lot of football mainly to talk about here today. How was your weekend? Much of basketball? Didn't
no.
You?
We woke up. I don't get too personal. We woke up Saturday and my oldest had a fever. So we thought we were kind of waiting to last minute, and we said it would come and go. So we made the call, listen, this is not a good idea. So we laid it low this weekend. In fact, she's still home with this fever, and again, it just comes and goes. And I can't stress enough, is that's the only thing she's had. No cough. I know what everyone's thinking. No cough, nothing like that. And there's times when she doesn't have the fever, she's up running around having a good time and feels great, and then boom, it hits her again. So we're going to try to get figure out what's going on. So no, there's no basketball, and I was very disappointed. She was very disappointed that we were unable to see how their team's going to look. But we'll give it a go, you know, next weekend. We'll see how we do. But so it was a very sit back and do a lot of nothing weekend. I got a lot of stuff done around the house. Watched a lot of football, both Saturday and yesterday. And actually yesterday I watched one game and then got disgusted. I about texted you and said, I might not come in tomorrow. I'm tired. I was just so frustrated, but I just put my phone down. But yeah, that so kind of a low key weekend. I got the Thanksgiving decorations out. That's how bored I was yesterday after the Dallas game. I was I got out the giant inflatable turkey.
I turned it off. As soon as Dallas blocked the punt and Denver got a first down, I went, yep.
You could tell very early. That's it. And we'll jump into the NFL like you said with Jim. But you could tell. I could tell very, very early. I feel like I have a gift sometimes. I could watch a football game and go, you know what? It's not working. It's not there today. You could tell very early with Dallas's offense. They just weren't in sync. Like it just.
Well, it's because they couldn't block.
They could not block. No.
They tried to rework the line. Tyron Smith was out, so they moved Steele to left tackle. Lael Collins was back at right tackle, and he was like a turnstile.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't work.
So, but here's the deal. The truth is, it's the NFL. You're not winning every game.
No.
It's just not going to happen, and Denver showed up and beat them. It's crazy how many of those teams, like, I was thinking about the top five that I had last week. You know, when we do top five, bottom three. And I had nothing but AFC teams. And the team I would have had in there, the Bills lost to the Jaguars. Oh. So Dallas lost, Green Bay lost, the Rams last night. It was crazy way that everything was kind of flipped on its head. But
We got one more game, but if I'm handing out an award for this week for the most impressive team, it'd be Tennessee.
It's got to be.
For me.
That was a whipping.
Yeah.
An absolute whipping. So, but here's the crazy thing about Tennessee is, I mean, they only gained 195 yards.
That's crazy.
You're not going to win games only gaining 195 yards. Like, their average yards per play, I mean, for a team that's what are they now, 7-2?
Yeah.
For a team that's 7-2, your average yards per play you would think would be, well, first off, more than your opponent, and probably by a decent amount. Theirs is less. So that's such an anomaly. You know, I saw the list of the winners and the yardage that they gained in yesterday's games. Tennessee was last by leaps and bounds.
Yeah. You're not taking on their fantasy team or anybody from them on your fantasy team.
Well, not anymore.
No.
Since Henry's gone. But that just, I mean, you have a pick six, you have the other one, the crazy one that's a 2-yard drive. You know, that's the way that game went, right? But I don't know how sustainable it is. But, man, they look good. I like it. It's that defense looked really good. And the turnaround that the defense has made at Tennessee over the past year, they were horrible last year.
Yeah.
And the what they've just run through, the four-game stretch that they just got done with, Bills, Chiefs, at Colts, at Rams.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome work. But, well, like I said, we a lot of times picked Jim's brain with the NFL.
Yeah.
All right, high school football on Friday night. Man, the Elks, best game of the year?
Well-rounded game. Very well-rounded.
Felt like, you know, holding Newcastle's
– I mean, best game against a good opponent, you know? I mean
– Yeah.
You know, we can't say the Guyman game or
– No. Those are wins.
It's kind of like a bookend regular season. We had a really good game against Pampa and a really good game against Newcastle.
That's the only. I totally agree because that's what I was thinking. Okay, what has been the best game they played? And I was honestly, Pampa was a really good one. They played super well, especially in that second half. And basically the only difference, I mean, the score doesn't indicate how well Elk City played against Pampa. And really the only difference between that first game and that last game was recovering an onside kick or two and not letting, you know, not letting the score ever get close. Yeah. But those games were super similar in the way that Elk City pretty well dominated the line of scrimmage, held down really good offenses because of the defense, and then ran the football. And so I think this one, to me, was more impressive because of what happened a week ago. And all the hype and all the, you know, the excitement of going over to Clinton and then just getting it handed to you the way that that game was. And now we'll talk about the Red Tornadoes here in just a second, but maybe that's just going to happen to whoever they play. But I thought the bounce back aspect of what Elk City did on Friday night was awesome. And everybody knew what the stakes were. Everybody knew you didn't want to go to Tuttle. Now, I'm not 100% sure you wanted to go to Cushing either. But
well, based on results,
yeah, I mean,
maybe Tuttle's who we want. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, but you didn't want to go there,
no,
and avoid the what's been the number one team all year long. And so now you take your swings at Cushing. It's going to be a totally different opponent from. I've watched just a little bit of a couple games so far. Totally different. It's something that we haven't seen defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be spread you out, throw it around, really. Potent offense. Mm-hmm. You put any, I don't care how down Ada is, when you start hanging 63 on Ada,
oh yeah,
that offense is going to be a problem,
right?
With Berlewitz as the signal caller, he looks super good. I kind of looked at a little bit of the Hera game, a little bit of the Ada game, and the very first play the other night against Hera, I don't know, 60-yard touchdown pass right down the middle of the field.
Oh,
so.
Dear.
Yeah, it's going to be a totally different challenge for the Elks defensively. Those secondary guys are going to get their fill. But as far as Friday night goes, what a great performance against a really good Newcastle team. So the Elks end up third, Newcastle fourth. And then the district title game over in the Tornado Bowl is close at halftime, what, 14-0 at half? And then Clinton just absolutely poured it on in the second half. They end up beating Bethany 49-0. And the Red Tornadoes have won, let's see, well, they end up 9-1, and they were 1-1, so they won 8 in a row. All 7 of those district games were wins. And so, well, I guess they don't end up 9-1, they end up 8-1 because they missed a game in the non-district with Millwood not coming. So,
in play, yeah. Technically, yeah,
it goes to a forfeit win, but right. As far as on the field, all 7 of the district games were wins, and it also feels like they are kind of finding their stride at the right time.
I did the simple math in my head the other night. Someone was asking me how good they are. I said, listen, just look at their schedule. Look at what they did or what they've done their past 5 games. And bear with me. I wrote this or I sent it in a text. I'd have to find it. But it's something like they've scored in their last 5 games. They've scored, here it is, 223 points. They've given up just 13. And that's – I think I'm more impressed with the defensive side of the ball for Clinton than – now, the offense is dynamic. And going back and watching the highlights of that Bethany game, there's multiple times Bethany had it on the Clinton side of the field and Clinton would turn them away. It's like a pride thing for them. They do not want the opponent to score. And then they got those – I mean, how many – goodness. You talk about it before the Elk City game, before we played them, was – limit their big play, the big scoring plays, the long big, and they did that all night long on Bethany.
Yeah, that's
we look down yeah. And it'd be 28-0. I'm like, okay, Clinton's pulling away. Then all of a sudden it's 42. We're like, what happened? That was just 10 minutes ago. We checked that score. They turn the ball over and then they hit you with a long run. I mean, it's I think one of the news channels who was there Friday night said it, kind of like, oh wow. They said, Clinton of old, and there it is. And they got a really – their path in the playoffs by winning the district looks pretty cut and dry for them.
Yeah, it's a ton different than if they'd have lost that game.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You go over the other side, you're dealing with teams like – possibly dealing with teams like Poto.
Well, you start
Wagner,
out with Blanchard.
Tuttle. You start out with Blanchard, who gave Tuttle everything they could.
Yeah, 14-13.
Lost by a point. Yeah, yeah, it's and
you know what though? Here's listen, I'm not sitting here by any stretch of the imagination telling you, "Oh, here we go. This could be an upset." But you know what? You know what we said last year about Weatherford? Exact same thing.
You're right.
You know, but the difference is I don't know that those teams were coming into the playoffs on the same level. Listen, the last two games Clinton played, who ended up second and who ended up third in District 4A1, and the combined score was 84-0. Mm. 49 against Bethany, 34 against the Elks. I mean, that is real stuff right there. So
there's a lot of question before the Elk City game about Clinton was, well, they haven't played anybody with a winning record outside of Heritage Hall. Of course, Heritage Hall beat them. So how good is Clinton? Will they play, like you just mentioned, the last two games were against good teams in the district, playoff teams in the district. And there you just said it. And that's what Clinton does. And that's what was a staple about Mike Lee. He'd get them to peak at the right time, get better as the season goes on. It appears that's
what's happening.
The trajectory right now for Clinton is happening the same way. It feels like I said, Clinton of old, of those Mike Lee days where they would just they'd start out okay and highly ranked, and then they'd just really put it on towards the end of the season.
I still do wonder, and I don't know if anybody can make them do it because of how powerful they've been running the football, but I do wonder what happens if Powell has to win a game throwing. Can they do it? You know what I'm saying? I wonder about that. You know, if it
he has the arm strength, but we question the accuracy.
Well, I mean, have never had to do it.
They've never had to do it.
They haven't had to do it.
Right.
So if they get into that situation, can they do it? That would be the only thing that I'd be like, well, but I don't know if anybody can make them.
Yeah, the way they run the football, they never have to worry about that. But you know, I'm we'll really break this down as we get closer to Friday night. You know, looking at the defenses of other teams, what team could do that? I kind of lean towards one of those teams from the East, like a Poto.
Well, I think it's – but you also have to score. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're also going to have to figure out a way to score too. So it's – you know, Tuttle's been number one all year long, and I think most people thought they were the favorite for sure. I don't know if that's the case going into the playoffs with the way that Clinton finished.
Feels like the opinion of – who is the team to beat is changing, based on how Tuttle and Blanchard happened. There's a lot of people who thought Clinton Bethany would look like Tuttle Blanchard.
Yeah, we'll see though. Here's the
lot
thing.
Of people.
Here's the thing that we're going to see on Friday night coming up. Yeah, Clinton beat the second and third best teams in District 4A1. What does that tell us if neither of those can win? I think this first round, if you look up on Friday, Clinton wins, one of Elk City or Bethany wins, and Newcastle plays Tuttle decent, then I think you could start to make that argument. But if Clinton's the only one out of 4A1 that wins a game, then, okay, yeah, they've looked great, but against who, right?
Right.
And so I think I think that opinion can start to be kind of solidified if the other teams out of 4A1 show up.
Right.
And make a hand in this first round against 4A2, because I think most people throughout the season would tell you that 4A2 has been, on paper, is a better district than 4A1.
Yeah, look at the logjam at the top going into Friday night.
That's right. And then, you know, I know Harris had a season that they haven't had in a while. But, you know, Blanchard, with that three-headed monster of Tuttle, Blanchard, and Cushing. You know, who would be surprised if two or three of those aren't in the semifinals? I don't think a whole bunch of people would. I mean, it would require, you know, a Blanchard upset of Poto, but listen, okay. I don't think that's going to be some gigantic shocker if it happens.
No.
So, I think Friday night
will
go a little bit more of a way to get people on the Clinton side of things headed into it. But anyway, it's down in A1.
Worth noting real quick, we were talking about this yesterday. If you look up the bracket, it's going to say 7:30, but yeah. Elk City and Cushing is at 7.
Yeah, it's a 7 o'clock game. Yeah, the OSSA website still has it 7:30, but it's going to be a 7 o'clock kick for the Elks and the Tigers.
We needed that extra 30 minutes to get there.
Well, maybe to get home. maybe we'll be happy about the extra 30
What's
minutes
another 30
at
minutes?
Night.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's right. Elk City Cushing is going to be a 7 o'clock kick, not a 7:30 kick, as it's stated right now on the website. I'm sure those will start changing as the OSSA is made aware of those game time changes throughout the week. Out at Merritt, the Burns Flatdale City Eagles just hammered the Oilers through in the first half. Merritt made a nice comeback, but it would end up 36-22. Was that the final? I checked out when the Elk City game is over. 36-22 in the fourth quarter was one of the last scores that we saw as we were kind of keeping tabs on it.
Efforting.
Yeah, efforting. But either way, Burns Flatdale City does get the final spot out of A1. Yeah, 36-22 is the final.
Okay.
And so Burns Flat goes 3 straight wins to finish up. Sayre, Thomas, and Merritt. We talked about it 3 weeks ago that the schedule that they played early with the tough teams, the top three, they kind of got those losses out of the way, and then they were able to come back from behind as far as the district standings go. So Burns Flatdale City is number 4 out of A1. They will go to Mangum as the Tigers undefeated in District A2. Man, Oklahoma State this weekend went up to Morgantown, West Virginia, and the Mountaineers are glad that Poke defense had to go home as Oklahoma State just absolutely dominated in a 24-3 win over West Virginia. Mountaineers, 133 yards of total offense. That's the lowest of any opponent ever for Oklahoma State. Did you see whose record they bested?
No.
Savannah State. Remember that game? It was like an 80-something to nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like first game,
yeah.
Struggling to find somebody. So that's how good that OSU defense was on Saturday. Held a Big 12 opponent to less yards than what Savannah State had in an 84-0 loss.
Wow.
Years ago in Stillwater. But West Virginia got a field goal on the first drive. After that, 69 yards is all they could muster. And obviously that's going to be the note of the game. But something that's going to be overlooked, and it's been happening these last few weeks, Spencer Sanders is playing some of the best football that he's ever played at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, outside of that, I mean, come on, highlight play interception that he threw. I mean, that was some effort. That's you got to tip your cap
to
that.
Yeah,
I mean, that is not going to happen. That wasn't one of those interceptions that we were used to seeing from Sanders.
No.
So I can almost it's forgivable is what I'm saying.
Right.
No, he's solid, right? Absolutely solid. The rushing game solid. Anna Warren didn't have over 100 yards, but it was solid enough to make the offense work. So, but the defense is the story. The defense is the story. Now, let's see how it moves on and who they have next.
TCU
at home.
Then go to Tech and then Bedlam. I mean,
yeah.
Just pay attention.
It just feels like with how Baylor laid an egg against TCU, so that game looks more and more like it could be OU's to lose, or if they can go in there and take care of business, they'll be fine. It just feels more and more like this is the Bedlam game could be if both teams can take care of business. I mean, is it a stretch to say it could be one of the biggest Bedlam games ever?
No. No, it's not, because I think if both teams can, and that's the funny thing, they're both going to have to root for each other to continue to win.
I know.
In order for both of them to have what they need to have in those matchups.
Right.
And I say matchups because right now it feels like we're going to see it back-to-back weeks.
It does.
And so, Oklahoma State especially needs Oklahoma to come in undefeated. And with the lack of strength on OU's schedule, they need to be undefeated to kind of assure themselves if they can, run the table of having a spot in that playoff. So the hype is already going to start for sure. Now, they both have losable games if they don't pay attention. I mean, we've seen OU all year long. There literally wasn't an opponent outside of Western Carolina that you didn't feel couldn't beat them going into the game the way that the Sooners have played. But they've been able to win them all. OSU's defense, you feel like no matter how the offense plays, they're always going to be in the game. because the defense has been so incredible and just a virtuoso performance on Saturday by those guys, just absolutely choking off anything that West Virginia was trying to do. And the Mountaineers have been came into that game playing much better offensively than what they started.
They just upset Iowa State.
Yeah, with 38 on Iowa State's defense.
Yeah.
And boy, howdy. It still looks like they could be up there trying to get first downs, and they couldn't all the way here till Monday. So kudos to OSU. Everybody else around the country kind of struggled. Some lost. I know you called Purdue out at the very first of the week as a team that you liked for an upset. Sure enough, they handled Michigan State pretty easily. I liked North Carolina, and that happened too. So those were the two.
Nailed it with the over.
And it was almost first. I said first to 60 wins.
You almost
got
there.
Oh, so close. Oh, so close. Hey, right quick, we had a question on the text line about the high school football playoff tickets, how to purchase those. Go to the OSSAA's website. It's OSSAA.com. About halfway down the page, you see Go Tickets. Click on that, and that's the way to purchase those. So that's a really good question to ask with all the teams that have made the playoffs and be going on Friday night. Now joining us is the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good, fellas. How y'all doing? Everything good? Who you guys play? Is the playoff next this coming week?
Yes, playoffs on Friday. The Elks will go to Cushing to play the Cushing Tigers.
They ain't good?
Yeah, they're pretty good. I think they've been, top five all year long, number four or three in the last ranking, so it's going to be a pretty difficult ask for the first round. But
how long has it been since y'all been to the playoffs?
For real, 2017. Last year they let everybody in because of the COVID and all that. For real, it was 2017, and before that it was 2011. So not often.
Very good. Good for the Elks.
It is. It's good stuff, and now you just take your shot and see what happens.
Seeing you guys last week.
Yeah, it was. I wanted to ask you, you kind of mentioned, and this is something that I can remember happening, but the Diamondbacks World Series, I know you're going out there this coming week for that anniversary. For the listeners that don't remember some of them might not even have been born, talk about what happened at the end of Game 5. So the middle three games were in New York City. It's right after 9/11 and all the emotion of all that happened. But something pretty cool happened at the end of Game 5 with Derek Jeter. Kind of tell that story a little bit to the listeners.
Yeah, and also just let people know that Julie and Jim Traber podcast, we did a two-part series about this. And it was last 2 weeks. Matter of fact, the new one comes out today. But yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. So the Diamondbacks won game in 1 and 2 at home. And then we all go up to New York City. And of course, it's after 9/11. George Bush throws out the first pitch of the first game. And there's snipers. And I mean, it's incredible. You never think like it, man. And it started in the dark, because we were almost in November. And so the Diamondbacks lose game 3. They lose game 4. By the way, walked off. It was unbelievable. And then game 5, Diamondbacks have a lead, and they give it up. And then to end the game, Derek Jeter hits a walk-off home run. And it literally was November 1st, so it was midnight. So it was after midnight on Halloween night, and it was actually November 1st by the calendar. So it was maybe about 12:15 or something. And for people that don't remember, Reggie Jackson, who played with the A's, but he also played with the Yankees. They nicknamed him Mr. October because he just always seemed to come through in the playoffs in October. Well, Jeter hit that home run to walk it off, and we're in the booth, and we're talking, and I look up at the screen. I don't know if people remember Yankee Stadium, but the whole thing was a huge scoreboard out there in center field, and they put up Mr. November because that was the first time ever that baseball had been played in November. And they called him Mr. November. Now, I don't know who came up with that. I don't know if it was planned because I don't know how they could have planned it because who knew the game was going to go into, after midnight. And I'm sitting there talking to Greg Schulte. We're doing kind of the wrap-up of the game. And it took me everything not to go, that is unbelievable. Say it on the air. Diamondback fans are like, they're probably drinking back in Arizona. I mean, they just got walked off three times in a row, you know. And that's maybe one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a baseball stadium. But I couldn't say it out loud. Then, of course, for people that don't know, the Diamondbacks went back and won Game 6 and 7. But if people want to hear more about it, you got to go to the Julie and Jim Traver podcast, because we talk all about the entire series and 9/11 and how I got the job. It's really cool. So you can get it anywhere, by the way, anywhere you can get podcasts.
Yeah, that's sportsanimal.com, iTunes, all over the place for that.
Spotify.
So, yeah, I would say we listened to the first one, waiting on my wife to get home to listen to the second one, and then today's. But that, you tell us that story eating lunch the other day, and I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot all
it
about
incredible.
That.
Yeah. And by the way, the podcast that's coming out today is it's about Julie got her closet cleaned, and which was an amazing situation. And then we'll talk about COVID and what we did during COVID and stuff. So this is a really good one, too. So by the way, I've had a lot of guys come up to me and go, you know, my wife does not like listening to your radio show, but she loves your podcast. So all you guys out there, if you want to maybe get a couple good points with your wife, say, hey, let's listen to this podcast. She'll love it. She'll love Julie.
I just got a text message that just said that exact same thing.
Yeah, your wife, I know, she's always, I guess you told me she liked to go, yeah, Julie's right on this, right?
yes. Yeah, she's definitely taken her side on a lot of the things that have happened. But, you know, I actually caught her listening to your show. So the podcast has bled
nice.
Over into
yeah, you're getting
being
new
on,
listeners.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not as bad as all those ladies think out there.
Yeah.
Although, hey, I will say this, though. I think Julie said this after about two or three of them. She said that she thinks it's cool because people see a little bit of a different side of me on this podcast. So it's been a lot of fun. We're really excited about it, too. So good stuff.
Let's start.
Well, you're getting a fan out of my wife.
Yes.
And I'll admit, I've not caught up, and she's listened more than I have. We don't listen to podcasts at the same time. She always has those earbuds in. I know. I'm busy. But she loves it.
What do you got?
She loves
work like 20 hours a day? Dude, come on.
You need to job shadow me, and you can see what I do, brother. It is. I'm a busy guy.
Every time I'm down there, he's watching TV in his office. I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm watching
exactly
news.
Right, exactly what
Let's start in the NFL yesterday. What a crazy day. I just saw that five different underdogs of five or more points won games outright. First time that had happened since 2006. I know you had the Cowboys, the Packers, and then last night with the Rams and Titans game. Kind of which of those three, you know, NFC contenders, which one would give you the most pause with what happened in their losses yesterday?
Well, I mean, I'd like to say that the Cowboy loss is an anomaly, but man, I just they were really bad, dude. 30-0. And you know, I could not believe that they, I mean, why'd they put Dak Prescott back in the game? Why is he playing? And with 6 minutes left in the game, you're down by 24 or 20, whatever it was. I mean, that was horrible. He looked bad. I guess they just wanted to get him some numbers because before that point, his numbers were terrible. You know, look, I've always thought all year long that defense has been really, you know, they're good, but I don't know if they're as good as they've shown. And, boy, Denver just running right out. Now, I don't know if you guys, you know, everybody's crying about the Cleveland Browns, how many injuries they had. Did you see the Denver situation? I mean, one of their starting offensive linemen was out going in. Then they lost two more starting offensive linemen. They lost Surtain during the game, and I mean, and they're still just rolling by the Cowboys. I don't know. That was a crazy game, but you know what happens when you get this part of the season? There's crazy situations. I will tell you that I'm 4-0 going in the night with my picks, and I had Cleveland. I thought that was a great opportunity, and you know, I'm really sick and tired of people not realizing that the Browns are better without Odell Beckham. And by the way, nobody's saying that they're more talented. Okay, you have to realize that. Talent's not the only thing that wins games. And I'm telling you, with him gone, this team showed that, yeah, they loved him. He's a nice guy. But they went out and they cared about playing for Baker Mayfield. And the one thing that I'll never rip Baker Mayfield for, two things. One, he's tough. And two, he's a really good leader. I've just said, you guys know this. People get on to me about this, but I said it since day one. He's not a star. He's just not. It's ridiculous that he was the number one pick in the draft. But they can win when they do what they did yesterday, run the ball. Of course, it helps with a 100-yard interception return to start the game. But Cincinnati, to me, man, I'm not going to call them a sham. But they're not as good as they've shown, man. They're better. There's no doubt they're getting better. But they're, I thought it was funny as a Steeler fan, I watched those two teams. They're both a little bit over 500, right? I mean, I probably think about 10-7 for one, maybe not, you know, 8-9 for the other. That's about it. But tonight, if the Steelers win tonight, fellas, they're in second place in the division and they're in the playoffs. And I still think they're not very good. So it's a crazy AFC. Buffalo losing to Jacksonville is beyond belief. I mean, the best team in the AFC supposedly loses to the worst. That's just crazy. Crazy stuff yesterday. Bunch of teams. Really crazy.
We blame the time change.
Yeah, I heard some other teams blaming the time change, too. It's really stupid.
Yeah. Well, we were joking. They were serious? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, Dallas clearly thought that game started an hour later or something. In the Cleveland game, though, you know, that it's so obvious, right? Because when Odell went down last year, all of a sudden you could see Baker Mayfield. And Romo even said it. He said, you know, when you watch Baker play without Beckham, he's throwing it to the guy that's open, not just the guy that has the number 13 on his chest.
Listen, we're just dealing with facts. I mean, if you look at the numbers for this team offensively, when Odell's not on the field, they're better than when he is. I mean, nobody's saying that Odell's not talented. Nobody's saying he's a punk. That's just the truth. Now, that could very well be Baker Mayfield's fault, and I think some of it is. But whatever it is, they played a lot better. Then they throw the deep touchdown pass. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's very, very simple. Like I said, there's two things as a Steeler fan that I want to happen. Odell Beckham to stay on the team and the Browns to give Baker Mayfield $40 million. Those two things are what I want, and I'm a Steeler fan. So, anyway, it's a good win for them. They go to New England next week. New England, my gosh, New England is, I mean, they're suddenly rolling at 5-4, so the AFC is a trip.
The best
teams in the AFC got beat too.
Yeah.
Does that result, the Browns Bengals result, does it give the rest of the league pause if anybody wants to bring in Beckham, or does that even matter?
I don't even. Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but someone will bring him in. I mean, just because of his talent, but I would never touch him. I don't want any part of the guy. Whatever the reasoning is, I'm not inside the locker rooms. Everybody, it seems like everybody likes him. Like I said earlier, it's not like he's a punk. But, you know, I think somebody like New England probably should bring him in. What, they put him on waivers today, he'll clear tomorrow. Is that how it is, I think?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think that's what it is, yeah. So if he, when he clears waivers, then someone can pick him up, and for not very much money, so someone will pick him up. But if I'm running a ball club, I'm saying no, thank you, no, thank you. But we know he'll get picked up. People, heck, your Dallas Cowboy picked up that what was his name? The dude who was like showed pictures of guns all over his laying on the daggone couch. His girlfriend.
Oh, yeah,
this
Greg.
Disgusting dude should have been in prison for 20 years.
Yeah, Greg Hardy.
Yeah. So I mean, Beckham hadn't done anything like that. Now, I will say this. I wonder how his dad feels. Because his dad, you know, there's no doubt his dad pushed this along. Let me ask you guys a question. If we're sitting here right now, if his dad would have never put that video out, would he still be a part of the Cleveland Browns?
I think he just put light on what was already happening in the locker room. I think there is an internal struggle.
Publicly.
Yeah.
Because if there was a struggle, there probably was a struggle before last week, and suddenly it got done when his dad put that video out. So, but I got to believe his dad watching that game on Sunday was like, oh, man, I look like an idiot. And by the way, you do look like an idiot. I'll let you know.
Let's move up to Morgantown, West Virginia. My goodness. Oklahoma State's defense was just awesome. I mean, when you hold a Big 12 team that's not named Kansas – to less yards than, say, like Savannah State to break a school record. Just an impressive performance by OSU's defense. I know that'll be the talk, but another guy that's flying under the radar, and he's doing what all anybody asks him to do, is Sanders. It feels like he's kind of, you know, the last three or four games, well, since Baylor, he's played about the best football that he's ever played on that campus.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, even in the loss to Iowa State, he played really well. He's definitely playing well. And we all knew he was talented. You know what's interesting? He reminds me of Baker Mayfield with the Browns, not at OU, because obviously at OU he's unbelievable. But he just needs to make sure he doesn't do anything stupid. They run the ball. The difference is he runs the ball a lot better than Baker Mayfield, which is a big part of their offense. And that's all they got to do, fellas, with that defense. And, you know, I was thinking about it as I was watching that game. I think the Oklahoma State Cowboys are the second-best defense in the country. That's what I believe. I think they're the second-best defense in the country. And I'd like someone to prove me wrong. I mean, Iowa's giving up points. Michigan's giving up points. Who else? Who's supposed to be good defensively?
Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin. I mean, they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oklahoma State's – I think they're behind Georgia. I think they're the second-best defense in the country. Now, am I suddenly saying – that they're going to shut everybody down? No, I think OU's going to score on them for sure. But if they can hold OU to like 27 points, you know, I mean, then OSU will have a chance. So this defense is really, really, really good. That was an incredible performance, man. Incredible performance.
So where do you think this leaves them tomorrow night? Because it felt like the first playoff rankings – it was a bunch of eye test and playing good. And, man, I don't know how you would ask a team to play better than what they did on Saturday. A couple of teams in front of them lost. I'd probably be surprised if Michigan State was below them. But they got to be in the top 10 somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely in the top 10. I mean, Wake Forest is going to drop like a bomb. By the way, you know my lock of the week was Purdue. So
Jared had that one last week too, right off
Attaboy
the bat.
Boy, Jared, way to take it from me.
I'm not right often, but I will ride this one for a while.
the other pick I had in college at Oklahoma State, but the other pick I had in college was North Carolina, which my gosh, I barely got there by a half point. That was a crazy game. But yeah, I think that they're going to definitely, like I said, Wake Forest is going to drop. They'll be done. They'll probably drop down to 15 or something like that. But Oklahoma State, I think Oklahoma State should definitely move up. I can't remember all the teams that were right there in front of them. They were number 12, right?
They were 11. Let's see, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, then OU, then Michigan, I think, was all the way to 7.
Yeah, I mean, OU will move up when they don't even play. I still think OU should be ahead of Michigan, but whatever. Michigan was all poor, right? They
played Indiana.
Indiana wasn't even close.
Oh, that's right. They beat up on Indiana. Yeah, okay. I think that Oklahoma State should definitely move to at least 10. You know, and then if they beat, there's going to be other teams that are going to lose. There's going to be some more losses. You know that. But that defense, wow, that's really impressive. And OSU was number 10 in the AP. So I definitely think that they should move up a few spots. Trying to think of anybody else that did anything good or bad. Michigan State will drop really low. I guess Cincinnati. Will Cincinnati move in the top four? I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
it's going to be interesting to see if the first one was actually a kind of a template, or if they're going to start moving them around a bunch. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, the head-to-head's clearly mattering to him because, you know, Oregon's ahead of Ohio State. I don't know that that's going to continue to be the case once the Buckeyes play the two Michigan schools, especially if they win, clearly. But it does feel like, when listening to everybody talking, that it's going to be more fluid maybe than what it's been in the past. Like, just because, you know, Michigan State falls to whatever, I don't necessarily know if everybody just moves up one spot. I think it might be kind of mix and match more than what we've seen in the past.
You could be right. I tell you what, though. I mean, Cincinnati, I don't know how they could move up. They barely beat Tulsa. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, so I think Cincinnati's going to lose. I think they're going to lose to either SMU or Houston. But if they go undefeated, I still don't think they're going to get in, because the Big Ten winner's definitely getting in. Obviously, everybody needs to cheer for Georgia against Alabama, because they'll get two in. And then Oregon is, I mean, even though that league stinks, I don't know how many good wins they're going to have. But if they go the rest of the way, I think they're going to get in. So it's going to still be tough for Cincinnati, but they certainly did not have an impressive win on Saturday.
Yeah, so you mentioned OU. Where do you think they'll be after what happened on Saturday? Of course, Michigan State losing, and other results were closer than usual. Cincinnati, maybe even Ohio State in there with Nebraska, multiple chances to win that game. Is OU going to kind of float around the 8 mark? Do you think they move up a couple?
I think that they'll move up one. That's my guess. I don't think they're going to move past Michigan State, because Michigan State still, you know, still has a better win than them. I mean, a better win and a better, you know, I mean Oklahoma's schedule is just not any good.
Yep.
I mean, anybody look at what Tulane is? I mean, Tulane hasn't won a game except who'd they beat? Somebody from the Division II, right?
Yeah. It's, yeah,
Division III or whatever.
Yeah, the schedule's terrible.
Yeah, and they're just, I mean, it just hurts them a lot. So, but again, they run the table, they'll get in. I think that each win, you know, the Baylor losing hurts them a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, what is Baylor? Were Baylor looking for? Now, what's going to happen is that has a line come out on that game?
6. I think it opened at 6, OU favorite.
Okay. I think everybody's going to think that OU is going to go down there and trash them because they lost, and I'm telling you, that's not going to happen, fellas. I think that's going to be a football game. Not that I think Baylor's any good, but Baylor had to be looking forward. Did they not? I mean, I think that they thought, well, that if we win out, we're going to go into the playoff, and I mean, into the Big 12 championship game, and then they just, like, lay an egg against TCU. TCU is terrible. Terrible. So, I don't know. And then you got, how about Texas, fellas? They're a joke. Golly, they're bad. So anyway, I think it's pretty simple. It's OU and OSU. I mean, it's going to be really hard for OSU to mess this thing up, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the only thing that can kind of derail that, I actually think it's more on the OU side than OSU, you know, because they got TCU at home, at Tech. If they win both of those, you know, I think that Iowa State game, if they somehow went into Norman and won, kind of throws everything up in a little bit of a different angle to it, because now – the head-to-head matters, since Baylor would have 3 losses after losing. So that could be, to me, the only way that it's not bedlam, is if Oklahoma loses to Iowa State. And then, heck, if OSU wins bedlam, then it's Iowa State and OSU meeting if the Cyclones continue to win the rest of their games. But
well, that would be an embarrassing ending for OU if that happened.
Right.
I mean, that would be horrific. So I think there's a legitimate chance that OU loses a game. I don't know where it's going to be, but I still think they're getting in that. Tournament. I think they're going to be in the Big 12 championship. By the way, I'm kind of flabbergasted because my wife just walked out with a dress and shoes and a purse, which she's thinking about wearing to Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, she looks incredible. I'm sitting here in my sleeping clothes with my hair all over the place, and she's walking around in a tank in high heels and a dress. So suddenly I couldn't talk. What were we talking about?
Real quick, Thunder. Too many wins. What are they doing?
What are they doing? Are they going to do it again? What are they doing? I mean, this is unbelievable. Stop winning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just terrible, fellas. I'll tell you, Popovich, man, it's probably time. I'm not going to say he should retire, because I've talked about this. He lost his wife. I'm sure that's all he's got going here.
Mm-hmm.
But golly, man. San Antonio, they got incredibly lucky for a long period of time, and I think that they're probably done. And he's a great coach, but they're done. Forever. I don't think San Antonio is ever going to get it again. And they're one of those teams that just kind of fights to be in the middle. And if you fight to be in the middle, you're not going anywhere. But, yeah, that's a bad win. You don't say that very often, but that's a bad win. And then the stupid Lake. By the way, congratulations to Russell Westbrook for a wonderful performance this weekend, where he went 1-for-13 from the floor and threw up 2 air balls and was, I don't know, a thorough embarrassment. That's what he was. And they lose again. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
Their starters combined for 24 points in that game. That is unbelievable. It's hard to even do. The one thing that Jared and I were talking about at the end of last week, we're getting to see something that I don't know if anybody thought was possible, and which I'm still not sure, but with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, obviously the focal point of everything the Thunder are doing right now, I've been pretty impressed with the way that he's been able to kind of put them on their back and look like a guy that can lead you to, you know, playoff wins without – you know, he had CP3, then he's had some guys around him. Now it's him with a bunch of other dudes. And he's been really, really impressive so far this season.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I'm just saying, fellas, that they need a lot more.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I hate to say it. I said it last year. They're on their way to mediocrity. And I know that people call in and scream at me. If they're in the playoffs and losing the first round, I'm happy about that. That's not my philosophy. I want a chance to win as much as you can. But, hey, maybe I'm just, like, standing there by myself because it seems to me like that, you know, people are happy that they win. But if you're a fan of this team, you want them to lose. I'm sorry. I don't know if people are watching, but there's a bunch of teams that have terrible records. Houston's only win was against the Thunder. They got one win. The Pelicans are horrific. Orlando stinks. So
Detroit,
I mean, right now,
Detroit's terrible.
What? Yeah, Detroit's terrible. So what are they going to be, fifth or sixth again? That'll be, I'm telling you, if they're fixed, I mean, there's a lot of basketball left. But they need to go on about, 18-game losing streak. They got to stop beating people. It's that simple. And I give it up to them for winning. I just think it's a bad deal. And I know that you can't tell kids not to win, but I don't know what you do. I mean, I'm telling you right now, Muscala doesn't step on the floor for me because he's just a gamer. I don't know what to do. I'd rest people a lot more. When someone's shooting it terrible like Giddy was the other night, I play him more. To serve when he's not doing anything, I'm playing him more. I'm telling you guys, I just don't. That was a bad win. It's a bad win.
Yeah, Muscala 5 of 6, 3 of 4 from 3. You can't have that on the floor at the end or at any time. Get him out of there. I mean, he only played 14 minutes. Just think if he had played more. He had 20 points.
But he's a ball player.
Yeah, I know. He's too good to be out there.
He's a ball player, so get him off the floor. He's going to get his check anyway.
Crazy. It's crazy. It's no good. Yep. You're right. Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement. It's no good. Beating the Lakers is fun and gets everybody feeling good. But we can't. The Thunder cannot be beating the Spurs and all those other bad teams. They got to lose those games because they're not going to beat the good ones for the most part either. So,
no,
not right. The greatest start to the season, even though it's 3-6. That 1-9 looks a lot better for Houston. Jim, thanks so much for joining us, man. We'll be listening. Tell us again about the podcast.
Julie and Jim Traber podcast, the Julie and Jim Traber podcast, and the sixth one will be uploaded today. Or download it, whatever you say. I don't know. I'm not tech savvy, and it's really cool. It's about a bunch of things other than sports. We talk a little sports here and there, but it's just about life and stuff. So, and Julie's a star. So if you get a chance, people listen.
All right, hey man, thanks for joining us on a Monday. Good luck. Have fun out there in Arizona next weekend.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
You bet. See ya. It's Ultimate Jim Traber joining us as he does on Monday. All right.
I didn't get caught up on that. I think I'll go do that right now.
I'm waiting for my wife to get back so we can listen to the second Diamondback one. I'm telling you, that first one.
It's pretty cool.
Jerry Colangelo has his own cologne made for just him.
Wow.
And Julie was like, it's the best smell ever. I would love to know what that smells like. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.